Greetings, everyone. This is Keith and Karina coming to you once again from the great state of Pennsylvania. Today, we're going to do part two of Walking in Unity. And I know this is going to be very exciting because this topic is an exciting topic. Anyway, little side joke there.
Very funny.
My sweetheart, I always want to introduce you to the crowd, to the people. Why? Because you're the best thing that God has given me since I've been born again. I truly know that to be a fact. And this topic that we're discussing, you know, applies to our own life and our marriage. You know, this is today is our 1 month anniversary.
Month-iversary. That's right.
Okay, so I stand corrected. It's not an anniversary because it's not annual. Right? But it's beautiful, you know, what God has been doing in our life and in the family here that I've become a part of, your family. It's a beautiful thing. And, you know, unity is so beautiful. You know, it is so powerful. You know, when we can walk in unity together in love and on harmony and peace and just love each other. And, you know, we talked about that yesterday in our podcast about, you know, unity having to be established on the foundation of God's word, but also upon the truth of God's word concerning love. Because what is there to unity if it's not founded on love? You know, because people can come together on a common purpose, like you were making mention of yesterday, sweetheart. And that doesn't necessarily mean that they are, you know, compatible, close to each other on many other things. Because they may just come together on a common purpose for a season.
That's right.
And yet, when we talk about unity from the Word of God's standpoint, God wants us to be one with Him. You know, Jesus prayed that prayer in John 17. You know, He prayed that we would be one with them as He is with the Father. And so I love that prayer that He prayed in John 6:17. And so, but anyway, before we get into deeper into this, any further into this, I want to again introduce my lovely bride and let her, you know, give some of her insights here before we get started.
I know that already those that heard the podcast yesterday and those that will continue to listen to it, you will be blessed. We want to encourage you, if you have not heard the podcast, please make sure you go in and listen to it. It's Walking in Unity, and of course it's part one. Today we continue with part two. This is such a much needed topic because we are many times so surrounded with news of everything but unity. You know, people speak a lot about division. As a matter of fact, I've heard several times news reporters, different people, different platforms state that America has never been so divided. So there's a lot of division going on, and the word division. So how amazing that the Lord would establish and instill in our hearts that now is a really good time to start talking about unity. Because even though we hear what we hear or see what we see, we cannot let ourselves get carried away by what the news is telling us that's happening. You know, as Christians, we also always have to have our spirits alert and discerning. What is it that God wants us to talk about? So that's important. That's a very good message to always remember that no matter what you see or hear, don't let yourself get carried away and also join whatever is being said. Let's not all also join in and say, yes, there's so much division. Instead of singing that song, which is not the song that God wants us to sing, He wants us to say what He is saying. And the message is that there should be unity. And first of all, there should be unity with us, with the Lord, and then with one another, the brethren, the Christians. When we as Christians, as children of God, who are light of the world, who are salt of the world, when we are united, amazing things are going to happen. But there is no way that we can expect that the world will walk in unity if we as children of God are not walking in unity with the Lord and with each other.
That is so true. And we can look at so many different aspects of unity and its importance, because, you know, when we think of unity, you know, as we already discussed, you know, we talk about it in regard to being one with the Father and one with the Lord Jesus in His Word and His truth. And yet many Christians claim, you know, hey, I believe in God, I believe in the Lord, I'm a disciple of His, I'm a follower of His, I believe in His Word and on all these things. But yet when they come together with other believers, somehow there's this strife and this division going on. And we can't say it's because specifically, you know, point it to a particular thing in the Word. Sometimes it's a matter of their soul, you know, going on in the soul, what kind of personality they have, what kind of temperament do they have, how do they act and react to the brothers. Is there jealousy? Is there envy? Is there backbiting and gossip going on? You know, so just because we agree on even certain principles of the Word, or maybe even all the principles of the Word in general, you know, if we don't walk in love toward one another, because just as you said, sweetheart, yesterday in that first part of our first part of this series, let me get this straight, you were talking about how a first grader and a 10th grader, such a disparity between those grades, just 9 grades difference.
Right.
And so how do they walk in unity? How does Christians who don't have the same level of knowledge, understanding, and wisdom walk in unity? We kind of talked about that a little bit, but why is it that we have people even in the same level that still can't walk in unity? What is the missing ingredient? If the missing ingredient was, well, they didn't have the revelation of knowledge and are so much more immature in their knowledge and understanding and wisdom of God, then why is it that those that are on the same level still continue to have those kinds of problems, that strife? And I think it comes down, the fact is, they're not being intentional. You mentioned that word today, earlier this morning. You know, that just like anything else, we have to work at it to be good at it. It doesn't happen automatically, you know. Walking in unity is not going to happen automatically simply because we're Christian. You know, we're going to have an intentional attitude toward wanting to achieve it, because we're all human beings and we're all different. We all have different backgrounds. We all have different experiences. And even if we, you know, we agree probably like 90%+ or more of things that we've talked about, you know. Right. So, you know, might say there's a semblance there of unity in regard to our agreement already. But what happens when we disagree on something? You know, agree on 99 things and one thing disagree on, and all of a sudden there's strife.
Right, that's true. You know, why don't we celebrate the 99, right?
Exactly, you know, exactly. So, so instead of getting upset about the one or two or three things that somebody may disagree on, why don't we celebrate what we do agree on and walk in love toward one another? While at the same time, you say, we're praying and trusting God to give the person the revelation or whatever it is that they need in order to come to the place of knowledge of what we have already. Because, you know, when we're talking to non-Christians, you know, and I have known this over the years, how I've acted, and I didn't always act the right way. You know, sometimes, you know, people, because of their immaturity and their stubbornness and things of that nature that has not been regenerated in their spirit, because they're not born again, they can say some of the things that can really push your buttons. And how do we handle that? Do we handle that with grace? You know, so what's this got to do with unity? Well, for one, when we walk in love, then even the unbeliever can see that. Because they don't have that. You know, they don't have it like God gives it to us through Jesus Christ, because true love comes from the Spirit, not just from an emotion. Because if it's simply by emotion, then how is it that people fall in love And still, we have 50% of marriages ending in divorce. So they can fall in love, but then fall out of love just as easily. So there's something to be said about what true love really is that comes from God. And so I think that's the glue that holds together any kind of real unity that's going to have any substance over, you know, a long period of time. Because anything can, you know, start out looking like the real thing. But when it's under the pressure, when life comes along, you know, you might say, you know, and curveballs are thrown their way and things unexpected. And what I didn't account for that, or I didn't know this about you, or whatever it might be. How are they going to handle those type of situations? You know, because we're learning about each other, sweetheart, every day, and things that we never thought about, you know. And so we're confronted with situations and circumstances of how we're going to handle these situations. And we both have made a determination that we're going to walk in love.
That's right.
We're never going to even consider that divorce to be an option. And we're never going to consider that the other person doesn't love us. Mm-hmm. You know, that no matter what happens, we love each other. We're going to love each other. And we're going to endeavor and purpose to walk in unity. So we're going to learn how and pray about how to walk in that, you know, if there's going to be ever be conflicts. So having said that, Lord, you know, when you pray so much, you're always using the word Lord and you're talking to God, you know.
Praise
so
God.
That comes out when you're talking to other people sometimes. So, yeah, so what's your take on that, sweetheart?
You know, I appreciate when you, everything you've said, excuse me, especially when you stated that unity has to be intentional. And we said yesterday that it is God's desire for us to walk in unity. And he not only tells us that we should, but as we read yesterday in Psalm 133, we saw that there is a blessing connected to us, for us, ready for us, available when we do walk in unity. But not just because we come together, as we said yesterday, you know, physically together in one place, but because we are truly walking under the definition of what God is calling unity. And in order for us to be together, there has to be a head. And so we know that the head of the church is Christ. So true unity occurs when we are being guided by the Holy Spirit, by God himself. And I kind of giggled when you said we can agree on, you know, 9 things, but that one thing that we don't agree on, then there's all of a sudden strife. And it's sometimes we're like that as Christians, not just with the unity, but, you know, the Lord has blessed us in so many ways. And instead of us celebrating all our blessings, sometimes, you know, the enemy just exaggerates or makes it even larger. The one thing that maybe we're still waiting on, or one thing that we're still praying about, or maybe one thing that we did not receive that the Lord said no, you know. And instead of just rejoicing over all the blessings that we do have, because they are greater, many times we just cry and throw a temper tantrum over the one thing that we don't have. But I wanted to add to what you were saying now that I think an amazing way for us to be intentional about unity is to, first of all, recognize that it doesn't just come natural. We do have to be intentional about it and say, you know what, today, Lord, today, Holy Spirit, help me to collaborate towards unity. Tell me what's my part. I'm not only going to point fingers and assume that if there is not unity in my family, in my job, in my church, it's somebody else's fault. Lord, what is my part to play? And I believe that we have to, each one of us, you know, take that step of responsibility, acknowledge it, assume it, and say, okay, I have a part to play. If there is not unity, let's say in my family or in the church, in my congregation, and wherever the Lord has established you, what is my part? What am I doing to promote the lack of unity, and what am I doing to promote unity? That's two very honest questions, because I cannot separate myself from whatever is happening if I'm in the midst of it. I'm either being a part of the solution or I'm a part of the problem. And sometimes we think that because we're not part of the problem, then we're okay. But no, God calls us to be peacemakers. So if I'm not intentionally being a peacemaker, then I'm part of the problem because I'm not working towards what God is asking me to do. But I believe that if we all prayed the way the Lord taught us to pray, let me just say this quickly before I add that. Why is it so difficult sometimes for us to walk in unity? If we're honest, it's because I want it my way. You know, you can have the most amazing idea, but if it's not my idea and the way maybe I'm used to doing it, if I'm not open, I just want it my way. And therefore, then, you know, the divisions, you know, begin. And it's sometimes it's very subtle. I don't think it ever happens all of a sudden. It just explodes. Usually it's very subtle things that bring us to that point of division. Can you imagine if all of us sincerely, humbly, always prayed, Lord, just as Jesus taught us, your will be done. Imagine that. If we said in our home, among our family, it's not about me getting my way. This is how I said it has to be done. This is what I think. This is how you should do things, right? Instead, okay, Lord, let your will be done in this circumstance, in this situation, in this problem, in this conflict, in this misunderstanding, Lord, let your will be done. Imagine in the congregation, how many churches, it's so sad to say, have divided over silly things. Imagine if we all were humble enough to say, it's not about you, it's not about you. You know, as Paul was saying, it's not a matter of whose disciple you're Apollo. No. Your will be done, Lord. What do you want? I surrender my will unto the Lord's will. I'm going to allow you, Holy Spirit, to work through me so that there is unity in this circumstance, in this location, in this group, in this setting. I want to be part of those that work intentionally towards unity for your glory.
I think that's powerful what you're sharing, sweetheart, because I think most every problem, you know, I can't say I know that to be a fact, but it seems like most every problem that arises is related to a lack of unity. Because if we're intentional about being in unity, now, of course, we're not saying that means we're going to always agree on everything. You know, no. It's obvious that, you know, when, you know, at least to me, it is what when Paul wrote Ephesians 4:11-13 about us, you know, having apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers sent to equip the church, you know, that we may come into the knowledge of God. We may come into the unity of the faith, you know. So, yes, we should be coming into common knowledge and understanding of the word of God and preaching the same thing. You can't preach that Jesus died on the cross and someone else is preaching, no, he never did, or he didn't rise from the dead, or whatever. You know, the doctrine could be so different that we have to have a unity of the faith of the fundamentals. But right. What about, you know, maybe some small things, or maybe even the fact that, you know, it's not even a matter of doctrine at all. Maybe it's just a matter of personal taste. Well, I don't like red carpet, and they're wanting to put red carpet in the church. Or I don't like them playing the piano. They should have right. electronic keyboards.
Right, or the know? Drums.
Or whatever it might be.
Songs are too fast.
And I've heard, you know, I grew up in church, so I've heard all kinds of things over the years. Mm-hmm. You know, some of the most petty disagreements right. that would split churches. Right. You know, and they're believing in the same Jesus. But yet, where's the verse that says, you know, hey, you know, if you don't have an electronic keyboard, then, you know, you're committing sin. I mean, I'm for the electronic keyboard. To me, it's lighter, it's easier to move around, and you've got all kinds of capabilities with it you don't have with the piano. The piano can only do one thing, right? It can't play an organ tune. It can't play other kinds of sound effects, right? So I personally would prefer a person who plays the keyboard. But if I was attending a church and they played the piano, who am I to say they can't play the piano? You know what I mean? What I'm getting at is people, because of their personal desires, personal tastes, you know, want to have their own way. And I think we're all, in a sense, we have that within us in our fallen nature. But we got to be able to keep our body under, like Paul said, so that when we do mess up, we can say, Lord, forgive us, and we can go to the person. And humility, I think, is a very important part of it. Because are we humble enough to admit when we were wrong? You know, and I've had to apologize to my wife, you know, several times already since we've been married. And, you know, and it's because I want us to have unity. I want us to continue to walk in love. I don't want to hurt her. We talked about these things, you know, in our personal relationship, you know, that communication is very key. You know, if we harbor something because someone says something, and it don't have to be in, you know, in a marriage, it can be, you know, father-son relationship, it can be a brother-sister relationship, it can be a friendship, you know, amongst Christian brothers and sisters. And so if we're going to walk in unity, we're not only going to have to walk in love, but we're going to have to know how to do that.
That's right.
And we're going to have to know how to communicate, because sometimes what we think is speaking the truth in love is nothing more than criticizing somebody where that's not needed. You know, now I'm not saying that, you know, we're going to just always say nice things all the time. You know, no one is ever confronted about anything. You know, what we're talking about, as you said, sometimes it's not what you say, but it's how you say it.
Right.
You know, so I think, you know, from what I'm learning, you know, still learning, you know, at 61 years old, is how to work on perfecting, you might say, the art of communication. You know, because you said something, it could be, you know, like you're talking about husbands and wives, you know. You know, if you don't mind, we talk about this. We're not naming any names, and we don't even know how long ago some of these things happened. But you know, women coming for counseling and crying about how, you know, it's, you know, their marriage relationship is going bad, or and then you ask, well, what's going on? Is he hitting you? Is he beating you? Is he, you know, physically abusing you, doing these things? No, it's just simply something as simple as the words that he spoke,
right,
and how hurtful that can be. And yet, yes, we know that in extreme cases of physical abuse, you know, we're not saying that the woman has to put up with and tolerate that. You know, she may very well need to get out of that environment for her own safety and the children's safety. So we advocate, you know, getting out of that environment if it's necessary. But when we're talking about walking in unity here, you know, it's not just putting up and tolerating things. We're also talking about the fact is, what can we do to improve this situation? We can do better. And I think it's just people haven't worked at it because they haven't wanted to. It's either my way or the highway. And it's just too bad if you don't like the way I am. And it's unfortunate that so many people are that way, that they think, you know, well, God forgives me. God knows who I am. He understands. And he never leaves me nor forsakes me. But you know what? But that's okay that we can treat other people, you know, any kind of way. And we brought up that one illustration, you know, in the scripture about the servant who the Lord had forgave. You know, Jesus was given this parable about this master who forgave his servant who owed him, you know, a lot of money. And he forgave him. And then he went out and he beat his servant.
Right.
That owed him some money. And yet he didn't realize, wait a minute, the grace that was extended to you, you're supposed to extend to other people. And sometimes people can be some of the most hypocritical, because they'll preach one thing and do another. They'll talk about how you need to treat me nice, but yet they'll treat everybody in your kind of way. Mm-hmm. And so if we're going to walk in unity, We have to want to walk in love. We're going to have to want to learn how to talk to people and treat people the right way. And for some, and for many of us, it's a learning experience because we're used to doing things our own way. We're used to doing it a certain way. And yet maybe, you know, if we're going to come together in some kind of relationship, whether it's marriage or working together as a ministry team in a church, we got to come together and we got to be able to support one another and listen to new ideas. That's and, right. You know, how are we going to have unity? And we should say, well, one guy makes all the decisions, everybody just has to do everything he says. Right? So is that unity? You know, I mean, I don't see that. You know, like I heard this on the sports analogy. It's kind of funny. Years ago that they were talking about, this was in the NBA basketball. And this was about Kobe Bryant. I'm bringing him up because they were saying that I think Shaquille O'Neal had said or somebody has said to him about him, you know, dominating the game and controlling the ball. You know, it's about him all the time. He says, and they said, there's no I in the word team. He said, no, but there is the letters M-E. Right? A little funny thing you throw it in there. But, you know, sometimes in our selfishness, our fallen nature, you know, we can just try to push our way to have our own way and not really realizing that what we're doing is not only not accomplishing what we want to accomplish, but it's also destroying any manner of unity that's trying to be established. And you know what? We need to continue to work on preserving that because we need unity more than we need anything, I think, in a marriage, in a church ministry team relationship. We need those things operating and working because we're going to sometimes see things differently. And we can't just expect that unity is going to work all the time and we're going to always agree all the time because what happens when we don't? How do we handle it? How do we handle when we get thrown something like a curveball that we never expected to receive? How are we going to handle it? If I'm being intentional that I want to walk in unity, then I'm already preparing my mind to say, okay, here's a situation that I'm going to have to deal with. How am I going to handle this? And if our mindset is walking in love, walking in unity, then we're going to pray and seek God and we're going to learn how to do things in a way that's going to promote that unity because right. We need that. The enemy would love to destroy the church and destroy every form of unity that he can to get us dividing and opposed to one another.
That's true.
And so we need to be able to continue with that bond of unity no matter what because that is the glue that holds together a marriage. That's the glue that holds together a ministry team, a church. You know, because there's so many churches that have divided and split up. And, you know, this is really why we have, I don't know, maybe 2,000 or more denominations. I've heard that's that there's amazing. That many, you know, Christian denominations that are off of being split off and fractured from, you know, parent denominations because of so many different beliefs. But the fact is if we continue to walk in love, then even we disagree on something, we can come together on the things that we do and we can continue to help promote the gospel. Because, you know, I don't believe everything that Catholics believe. But you know what? I could work with them because we're still trying to win people to Jesus.
Exactly.
You know, and there's a lot of things that we can do together in unity that we can ignore the differences that we have, you know, for the common purpose.
Right. You know, I'm glad that you mentioned sports because I don't know a lot about sports. I mean, I like baseball, but the beauty of it, I think all the sports, I think the teams have in common. I can't think of one where this doesn't apply, and it's that they're all working together to win those that are on the same team. So can you imagine if there was not unity among the team players, right, on the same team? They work together because they are on the same team. And I think you and I were talking a little bit about that now that you're making emphasis on the communication aspect of this beautiful topic, walking in unity, and I know there's so much more that we're going to be talking about, that we have to we have to first of all know that we are on the same team. And that's important. You know, we are on the same team. You're not here to win on your own. And now we're kind of talking specifically as couples, right? But it applies to all different levels and relationships. If we know that we are on the same team, then we're going to be willing to work together because we both want the same thing. We want the success of the team, right? We want us all to enjoy the success, not just you, not just me. But sometimes there are team players like that, that they believe that the game is just a one-man person, unless it's a sport like that. But you know, we get the point. But I was also thinking when you were talking about communication, God's way, there is another story in the Bible that speaks about a bunch of people coming together and they were pretty strong in their unity and it did not please the Lord. And it was the Tower of Babel.
Wow, that's good.
Right? They came together, right? Yes. And they were good. They were so good that the Lord said, we better do something about this because they are so united on what they're doing, but it's not what we want them to do.
Right.
Wow. And that really makes us think, right? Because sometimes we have to make sure that we are joining forces, that we are uniting our heart, our soul, our thoughts, our strength, our purpose, even the management of our time to the right purpose. And it's something that is truly honoring God, and it's what He wants us to do. And I believe that with communication, we have to first of all remember that it is important to God, right? Otherwise, He wouldn't promote the unity. And God was the best and is the best communicator. And also in communication, we have to keep in mind, as we said before, that our communication is not perfect. You know, if we give each other the grace and the patience and the love that maybe what you're saying, I'm just not hearing it correctly, and give each other the benefit of the doubt and not quickly jump to conclusion and divisive
rhetoric.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, thank you. Sometimes I think in Spanish. then God is going to help us to grow. God is going to help us to grow. And we have to give ourselves that grace period and space, okay? I what you said really kind of hurt me, or I misunderstood. Can we talk about this? You know, what did you really mean when you said this? And I can speak as a woman that sometimes, too often, instead of speaking up, many times we just harbor things in our heart. And we think that just by leaving it there, it's just going to go away. But it's not. It's not going to go away. It's like you can't pretend that if you just hide a seed, you know, it's just going to disappear. It is going to continue to grow. And how beautiful it is when, even though it hurts, to be able to say, you know, what you said hurt me. Can we talk about it a little more? Can we air this out? Can you explain to me exactly what you meant? Because I know you love me. So I really believe that the intention behind the words wasn't to purposely hurt me. So can we talk about this? And I believe that if we as adults and also teach the children did that, a lot of misunderstandings would be cleared up and we would avoid many additional conflicts. And then as we mentioned before, and I've kind of talking about the three I's here, is to be intentional about it. Yeah, but our unity, and definitely with communication, as you mentioned, it's a huge part of either having unity or having division, our communication. But with the communication, we can speak one thing, but we have to remember that what we are speaking is truly what's in our heart. So it's not only saying, oh, be careful, don't say that, be careful with how you say that. It's not just a matter of fixing what comes out of your mouth, it's fixing what's in your heart. Because that's if good. You're saying it, it's because it's in your heart. So God, when He tells us and mandates us to walk in unity. It's not just to pretend and be good at saying things. It's a matter of the heart. If we truly are going to be united, it's not only because we're good in communication, which is important. We're good in gathering. We're good in coming together on in a common goal, but because we are truly united with our hearts, and we are all aiming and working towards the same goal, which is to glorify the Lord and say, Lord, let your will be done.
That's very good, sweetheart. I mean, there is so much truth in what you said, and so much truth still yet to be said.
This
topic seems to be, you know, I don't know. I think we're just scratching the surface, of what needs to be shared. And I think I'm going to learn a lot.
Me too.
In this series, you know, because I think the fact that, you know, there is this struggle for people to walk in unity is because they don't completely understand how to do it, you know, because, you know, it's like anything else. If you don't know how to do something, then you're going to fail at it. And many fail because we don't know how.
That's true.
And so I think maybe, like you said, the more we talk about, you know, the issues, the more they're able to analyze it to the point where they can resolve it. And the same way with what we're doing here with these podcasts on this particular subject here is as we talk it out, I think we're just kind of talking things out.
That's
here,
right.
You know, and God is giving us new ideas.
That is so true.
You know, so, but anyway, I'm going to have to close out this podcast and we'll continue on tomorrow, hopefully, part 3, because I see, wow, there's still a whole lot more that needs to be shared and revealed by the Spirit. So I'm eager to learn. So, but before we do that, we want to quickly, time is expiring here. We want to extend the invitation to those who have not received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. You can do that now, in this night. Why wait till tomorrow? Because tomorrow's not promised. If you will confess the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, basically what you're saying is this, that you acknowledge that he died on the cross for your sins because you're a sinner and no one can justify you except through his death and his resurrection, and you accept that sacrifice for your sin.
Amen.
And receive him as your Lord and Savior, you shall be saved.
Amen.
Simple as that.
That's awesome.
Amen,
news.
Sweetheart.
That's right.
So we will conclude here and we'll pick it up tomorrow, hopefully. And we say good night and God bless you all.
Good night. God bless. And bye-bye.
Bye-bye.